Today I want to talk about the fact that all disapproval is self-disapproval. Now, you might disapprove of that statement that I call it a fact, but if you'll consider it, I think you'll come over to my side of the fence. People may think that when they disapprove of somebody, they're creating a one-way flow of information and energy flowing from them to the object of their disapproval. They think it's only going outward toward that object. That is not true. They are creating an energy flow that goes in multiple directions. Goes outward toward the object of disapproval, and it goes inward, and it penetrates the person who is doing the disapproving, and it radiates out to people in the environment standing around, virtually or in reality. Anything you and I think about someone else, anything we feel about someone else, anything we say about someone else, and anything we do about someone else is captured by our subconscious minds as if this is being about us. If we criticize someone else, our subconscious mind processes that energy as if we were being criticized. Our bodies are going to react physiologically, and the cells of the body will become stressed. They're going to go into the self-protect mode, and fight or flight can easily be triggered in that scenario. That entire process can be repeated many times every single day. And each time it's repeated, our immune system is interfered with. Our normal metabolism is interfered with. Our digestion and blood circulation are interfered with. Our ability to think and process information are interfered with. In other words, our health and happiness are interfered with. Everyone understands the great spiritual law, the law of cause and effect, at least in theory, and sometimes even physically. The law is commonly stated as we reap what we sow. I love this law. To me, it means that if we want to experience an effect, and we can desire whatever it is we want, if we want to experience that effect in our lives, we just need to figure out how to cause it. It is available to people who are willing to cause it. Everyone, rich and poor, old and young, regardless of education, genetic skin color, everyone can work with this law to their advantage. I interpret this law as more evidence that the power you and I, maybe most people, refer to as God, is an all-loving power. This law is the fairest concept that I can imagine. We reap what we sow. Of course, one of the ramifications of this law is that if we criticize, we're going to be criticized. If we hate, we will be hated. If we reject, we will be rejected. The very good news is that if we sow seeds of kindness, our harvest will be kindness. If we are respectful, we will be respected. If we are loving, we will be loved. I can hear murmuring in the audience. I tried to be kind to so-and-so, but so-and-so was mean to me. The law of cause and effect is not a business transaction. If we think this way, if I do a nice thing for so-and-so, so-and-so will do this nice thing for me. That's not love. That's a business transaction. We are bartering one thing for another. Some people barter with God. Dear God, if you will just fill in a blank, I will give up, or I will do, fill in a blank. And children can make these kind of business deals with God to the terrible disadvantage of themselves. I remember an episode when I was 8 or 9 years old. I was sitting on the couch trying to sew up a hole in one of my socks. I had a straight pin held between my lips. All of a sudden, the straight pin was gone. I couldn't find it. It wasn't on my shirt or my slacks. It wasn't on the couch. I thought, oh my God, I must have swallowed it. I immediately lied down and started negotiating with God. God, God, please keep me alive. Please keep me alive. And if you do, if you keep me alive, I promise to give up happiness. I promise to give up fun. Please, God, don't let me die. I should have told this to my father. My father was a lawyer. He would have told me, Tommy, little boys and little girls can't make legal contracts, even with God. They're not valid. If that event sounds silly, consider this one. I knew a beautiful woman who had almost been raped. In that attack, she committed to never enjoy sex if God would just protect her right now from her attacker. She was protected. She was not raped. And, as a result of that, she could never enjoy sex afterward. Vows made by us when our lives and our bodies are in terrible danger are like confessions forced out of people when they're being tortured. They're not valid. Those vows, those confessions, they're not valid. We'll basically say anything at those times. We can't really be held to it. Where we would even get this idea that God is like a man trying to get things from us in exchange for his help and protection, where would we get that? Well, we may have been taught that God is the ultimate disapprover. God is the ultimate criticizer by condemning people to hell. That's the ultimate criticism, right? If you believe that, that's the ultimate. I've been using words like disapproval and criticism, but I want to shift to another word, rejection. All rejection is self-rejection. I recently spoke about helplessness on various calls that I've done. What do people experiencing chronic helplessness do? They reject themselves for having the feelings of helplessness. That rejection turns into self-hatred, and that self-hatred ends up killing them and other people. And that killing can be fast and violent, or it can be slow, steady, and silent. You can see the fast and violent killing on television and newspapers and in magazines, and you can see the slow, steady, and silent killing in doctors' offices, hospitals, and hospices. In the slow, steady, and silent rejection, it's as if we take that street pin that I mentioned and we stick ourselves with it until our life force drains out of us. One of the most powerful impulses in human beings is to defend ourselves from criticism, emotional, and physical attack. Disapproval is criticism. Disapproval is emotional attack. Disapproval can even be physical attack. Disapproval hurts. It causes pain. The pain of disapproval is directly connected to procrastination. The next time you're looking at an activity that you need to do, but you feel the impulse to procrastinate, look for the disapproval that you're afraid of. Who's going to disapprove of you for doing this? What is the likelihood of that disapproval? And I will guarantee you, in most cases, that disapproval is coming from us. We will be the disapprover. So if we don't do that activity or that job or that chore or that process perfectly, we will be the disapprover. Disapproval hurts. And it causes pain. So we try to avoid it. And now we're not going to become involved in that project, that we won't stretch ourselves in business or in our careers or in relationships because the threat of us disapproving of us is really, really high. Why? Because we've practiced disapproval. Maybe this is the harvest in the law of cause and effect. besides being directly connected to procrastination, I believe disapproval is directly related to illness. Consider this example. There's someone in your life, maybe at work, maybe a neighbor, hopefully not somebody in your family, that you disapprove of. There's something about them that you disapprove of. Maybe a lot of things that you disapprove of. How much positive energy do you communicate? How much positive energy do you send to them? The answer is not much, if any. Now consider the cells in your body that refuse to communicate with your other cells. Ooh, that's not a good thing. Do you realize that cancer cells are like cells that have not received enough positive communication of energy? Back in 1931, a doctor discovered that cancer cells can thrive in an environment of low voltage, low oxygen, and with high acidity. Those awful circumstances produce cells that are basically unintelligent. They're basically unaware. They basically don't know that they're a part of this huge organism, you and me and other people. You go, wow. So, that cancer cell hasn't received enough positive energy in the form of love, respect, oxygen. You go, And so their ability to grow into healthy cells and to reproduce healthy cells doesn't exist. They're basically helpless in that regard. Importantly, do you realize that when you disapprove of yourself, when you disapprove of your body, when you disapprove of any body parts, you are attacking yourself and causing harm to yourself? Reader's Digest has a section in the magazine called Laughter is the Best Medicine. No doubt about it, laughter is very good medicine. Laughter is very good medicine, but it's not the best. Love is the best medicine. Love you, love your body, and then when you look at somebody else, that person at work, that person who's your neighbor, that person in your family, if that is the case, and look for the true essence of that, those other people. Don't fall for the trap of rejecting and disapproving of behavior or hair color or skin color or some superficial attribute. Look for the true essence of those other people, because it's the same as yours and it's the same as mine. We all have the same source. We come from the same source. And if we can look at the true essence of other people without being tricked into hating them, we're going to be so much better off spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. For those of you who take in the 6 o'clock news, notice the amount of disapproval that you are allowing into your hearts and minds. Taking in this toxic, poisonous energy in the form of words and images that disparage and are critical and judgmental and sarcastic about other people, other races, other religions, other behaviors, does not produce a healthy, happy person. You can't take poison and think this is a good thing. That may be the medical model, and it may be the military model. The way to make a situation better is to kill everything in sight. But it's not reality. It's not reality. It may be profitable for some people, the killers, not the killees. But look at that stuff that you're taking in. And you could do this with other stuff that is considered, quotes, entertainment, end quotes. Look at the amount of disapproval, the negativity that is bombarding you through your television screen. Like, ooh, wow. It's like making a decision to go, I'm going to stand in front of this device that is going to irradiate me with toxic vibrations. This is a good idea. You would quickly realize, no, that's not a good idea. That causes illness. It causes harm. It causes disapproval because I'm being filled with it. Here is how we can handle disapproval. When we have this urge to disapprove of somebody, you're like, first of all, you got to become aware of it, right? You got to be mindful of this idea that, that person, it's like, you know what? No matter what I do, disapproving of that other person or other behavior, it's not going to change anybody. It's not going to change anybody. Despite the idea that we get trained from the earliest ages in management by disapproval. If you don't do it my way, I'm going to disapprove of you. If you don't do it my way, I'm going to disapprove of you. If you don't do it my way, I'm not going to play with you. If you don't do it my way, I'm not going to hire you. If you don't do it my way, I'm not going to like you. Right? And we hear these things said in so many different ways, verbally as well as simply in silent behaviors. It's like, wow, management by disapproval. But ultimately, the disapprover is the one who gets the worst out of this, because that disapprover is going to reap this. Maybe not immediately, maybe not from the same person they disapproved of, but it is going to come back to them because it is the law. So, what do you do with this when you have this impulse to disapprove? And it's a primitive, it's primitive, and it is pretty common in human beings, because we think it's going to keep us safe by rejecting other people. It keeps them away. No, that rejection penetrates us. So here's what we do. We ask God to remove this disapproval from our hearts and minds. We want it to be recycled. It's like, I can't get value out of it. Please, God, I would like to let you wash it out of my heart, sweep it out of my heart. And these divine energy flows that are always available, and that's what the law of attraction is all about, we put our attention, we get into this vibrational state, and we can attract things into our experience. And we can use that same kind of energy flows to hand off something that we can't do anything with. Disapproval, hatred, anger, fear. Dear God, I'd like to hand this to you. Remove it from my consciousness. Remove it from my heart. Remove it from my mind. Heal me. And do that a couple of times. It's amazing. And if this interferes with your sleep, you know, one of these, I'm so mad at so-and-so for whatever, before you fall asleep, ask for that help. Ask for this feeling to be cleansed from your heart and from your mind. It works. If we ask for it and we allow it. A lot of people misunderstand this feeling of being angry. This is a righteous anger. This is a righteous anger. And what is that? It's an anger. It's an anger that person completely believes they are right and the other person is wrong. So it's that need to be right is one of the seven needs that I talk about that drives human behavior in so many different ways. The need to be right. We go to war because of our need to be right. We kill people because we need to be right. And we kill ourselves in the process because we hold on to this need to be right. We can turn around and we can release it. Hand it off. So we can be more peaceful. We'll sleep better. We'll operate better in work. We'll operate better in our family relationships. We'll operate better, period, because we'll be functioning more fully. We won't be in self-protect. We won't physiologically be so disadvantaged by the stress that we're causing ourselves by being in the state of disapproval and rejection. Like, this is where we need to get to. 2,000 years ago, it was like, love. Love is the solution to these problems. Love is the solution to these problems. And so many people go, yeah. Me and Jesus, oh, I love Jesus, yep, I'm a Christian, yep. And I hate anybody who isn't. It's like, whoa. Where do you get that? Where do you get that last part of that statement? That's not part of the deal. Love. Not. He didn't sell hatred. He didn't sell disapproval. He experienced it a couple of times, clearly, where he was the disapprover. Asked the fig tree, asked the money changer in the temple, right? Those final stories in the Bible. Like, oh, yeah. And he knew, oh, boy, law of cause and effect. Disapproval doesn't make us stronger. It weakens us. Disapproval doesn't protect us. It endangers us. Disapproval doesn't keep us safe by keeping things away. It draws in these dangers of rejection. Those lower vibrations penetrate our body, inform our cells, and then the cells stop communicating with one another. Cells that don't cooperate with other cells are obviously problems in the human body. Oh, your body is not working well. Gee, I wonder how that happened. Oh, this is not working. I wonder how that happened. Oh, your brain is not working. I wonder how that happened. We interfered with the well-being that divine consciousness is seeking at every single moment to deliver to us. And our disapproval is closing the door on what otherwise would be a natural, healing, protecting, need-fulfilling energy flow into our bodies and our minds at all times. If we've developed that habit of disapproval, and probably if we're human, we have, it's like, okay. We need to get to the point where we're like, you know what? This does not serve me. This does not serve me. And from that point on, then we could seek to make a shift. But people were like, no. It's, you know, I'm holding on to it. I'm right and they're wrong and end of story. It's like, okay. So when the doctor says, you got X, and what caused that, doctor? We don't know, but let me write you a prescription. We don't know, but I recommend surgery. You go, oh, maybe I'm reaping a harvest. Maybe. Ask God to remove these energies of disapproval, anger, hatred, fear from your mind and your heart. And while you're at it, you might want to choose some energies for the divine consciousness to flow into you. Dear God, let me become aware of patience and compassion. Help me become aware enough so I can look past the surface of other people's behaviors and skin colors and manners and forms of expression and even religions and garb to recognize that we, at our core, are kindred spirits created and sustained by you. I think this is doable and incredibly practical, simply because in order to live healthily and happily to any age, not necessarily 120 and healthy, but any age, letting go of disapproval is a major step. Set that disapproval on the ground. It'll lighten the load and make the journey so much easier, so much faster, so much more pleasant. We can do it. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, letter 8. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.